Okay.
Well, like I said, you're born and aren't you after that? You see what you want. Well, commission, are we ready to move forward with the budget for fire warden? Okay, Carrie, what's you?
Okay, so what we have up here is we've been working with Chad and ML to move some things around. You'll see there's some differences from what you have and what's up here. And do you want to talk about those? Do you guys want to talk about those?
I believe the main differences are on these two yellow items, and then what did you do, $15,000 for facilities maintenance?
It was.
Yeah. So these three line items will be different than what you have in your printed packet.
Right. On the SCBA reserve, last year we moved $250,000 to a reserve, and then we budgeted $250,000 that was going to be moved this year, and then budget another $250,000 for next year. So when we met with Chad and ML, that comes up to $750,000 for the 3 years. And Chad was wanting to go ahead and make that purchase this year, but that put him over his mill. So we decided to leave it in the reserve, and then whenever he gets ready to make the purchase, then we'll do a budget adjustment.
Okay.
And then he had normally scheduled, I think, two apparatuses for this year. And when we asked for the decrease in budget, they put it down to the one. And then we thought, well, let's go ahead and see what it does if we have it at the two. But that also put them over the mill. So we took that one back down to the 425 for the one apparatus. And then there was a few other small changes that got them down to his mill. Also, at the bottom, you see the fire warden grant. That's the SLID grant for the Daniel Fire Hall. Since the fire hall will be owned by the county, we move that to the our revenue budget to count it as a county facility rather than a fire facility. So we took the $1 million that was coming in and out of his budget to the general budget. That the SLID grant is included right there on Chad's budget.
Oh. Okay.
And so we moved it to the general fund because it's going to be a county-owned facility.
Well, it's also a road bridge facility.
County-owned, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't necessarily.
Well, the county has to own the fire departments, not the fire department.
The state statute describes that the fire mill up to 1 mil is held separate for fire, and it specifies, you know, fire department response and equipment and personnel, etc. And then in a different statute, it says that the county buildings are owned by the county, and the buildings isn't part of the 1 mil would be hold separate for fire. So this building is a county building, not a held separate budget for a fire building, so it's not part of the 1 mil.
And the reserve that we have set aside for that building is in the county depreciation reserve, not the fire depreciation reserve.
So both of those are in the general fund?
Yes.
Yeah. $15,000 and $9,000.
Actually, I was wrong about that. $15,000, that's their grant. I didn't see page two in those money. So they get $15,000 in grants. Their SLIP money is $1 million.
$1 million. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. questions?
Thank you, Chairman. A couple of questions, and just to refresh my memory, what is an SCBA equipment reserve? What's SCBA?
I'll let Sharon.
So SCBA stands for self-contained breathing apparatus. It's the compressed cylinders of air that the firefighters wear in the back when they go into a burning building. The serviceable lifespan on those SCBAs is 15 years, and we are at that 15-year mark. 2 years ago, we put away $250,000 into a reserve, knowing that the end of service life was coming up. Last year, we put away another $250,000, so far we built a $500,000 to go towards that purchase. This year, we'll need the remaining $250,000 to go towards that purchase. Then once we have that, then we'll go to bid and determine what the final price will be, but it should be in that price.
Okay. Something we planned for the last 2 years.
Isn't it something you can't avoid?
Yeah, it's a DOT federal regulation. It's nothing we can do. There's a built-in service life on those.
My other question is, what is the $425,000? What apparatus are we talking about?
So that will be for a wildland urban interface engine in Battalion 2, Mid County Marlton area, and that will be replacing the antiquated military access property with modern fire capacity and seating capacity for five people and larger water line capacity and larger pump capacity for fighting both wildland fires and having the ability to fight defensive structural fires as well.
So then when we do that, does that existing military apparatus go back to the state?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Commissioner.
If you would, Mr. Cooper, thank you for being here. I certainly appreciate it. And the SCBA, I had no idea what it was until I looked it up. And I had no idea how important it was until I realized that it could be a lifesaver for the folks who use it. I had no idea how much they cost until I looked at it. So the request for that, at least in my mind, is very reasonable because I know, at least I think I know, that you're going to expend most of that money to outfit most of the volunteer firefighters here for the SCBA stuff. The other couple of questions I have is, do you have in mind how many apparatuses, used to be fire trucks in my day, but I realize they've changed that terminology. So what is the goal for Suffolk County, in your opinion, for fire apparatuses, numbers-wise, to take care of the 9,000 folks or what have you that we have here?
So we have a capital improvement plan that's well-defined replacement of all of our fire apparatus. Now, I don't have the capital improvement plan with me right now, and I can't speak from memorization of what's included in that. But to your point, each fire station needs to have a structural fire apparatus, a tender to carry sufficient water to supply the structural fire apparatus, and then each fire station needs to have light mobile wildland fire apparatus. We call that type 5 or type 6 wildland apparatus, and then each station also needs to have a heavy wildland apparatus, and that's the large 1,000 gallons of water capacity and the ability to it's less mobile but carries more water. Between those two wildland apparatus in each of the stations, then we can respond adequately to grass fires as well as large timber fires. On top of that, each station uses a rescue unit, which carries the jaws of life or the Hearst tools and equipment in it. And then each station has a command vehicle that transports firefighters back and forth to incidents, but also back and forth to trainings. And then that's what we use to transfer our firefighters to Apple County trainings as well. So the capital improvement plan has identified these basic minimum requirements for each of the six stations. And then furthermore, the capital improvement plan has scheduled out the end of service life for all of our fire apparatus. The NFPA, the National Fire Protection Association, recommends that all fire apparatus should be scheduled for replacement at approximately the 15-year mark. And so based on that, sometime between the 15-year and the 20-year mark, we've come up with a 10-year schedule to replace all of our fire apparatus. And the point being is countywide, all of our apparatus, all of our command vehicles, everything with wheels on it, under it, we have a little over 50 apparatus. Now, I've been reducing that over the years. When we first started with unification, we started with over 60. Over the years, we've been letting go of some of the antiquated apparatus that we have and trying to get down to true size necessary to fit within in the fire stations we have. But my point is that right now we have a little over 50 fire apparatus in service in the countywide. Our intent is to try to replace those apparatus before they become antiques and are no longer dependable to provide fire protection.
And Chad, I thank you for that because I think you have done a good job since the beginning of the Unified Fire trying to put together a comprehensive plan along with a mission statement and how to equip yourself and move forward towards accomplishing that statement. So it is there, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
And the last thing I'd add is that the entire Capital Improvement Plan aligns with nationally accepted best practices, National Fire Protection Association guides and requirements. So the level of fire protection that we provide for the community in all 10,000 residents that live in Sola County matches the expectations of fire departments all across the entire country, and it also aligns with the insurance services organization's requirements for providing insurance for those residents.
Okay, so I'm trying to get my hands around this a little bit, if you would. So we have, what, 8 facilities, I think, in the county. So the idea is to be able to have each one of those with the apparatus that you just discussed.
So we have 6 fire stations in the county, and then we have a fire training facility that does not house apparatus. It's strictly there to provide training for the firefighters. So of the 6 fire stations, that's exactly the benefit of unification, is that as a standalone battalion, none of those 6 fire stations have adequate resources, personnel, apparatus to provide fire protection as a standalone entity. That's the benefit of unification, is strength and unity. We were able to bring all 6 of those outlying fire stations together and work together to provide common services. But we can't have a weak spot in any of those 6 areas, because then the entire county is weak as a result of your only strong as your weakest link.
Thank you for that explanation. It makes me feel a lot better. There was another concern. I got to put my glasses up and make your numbers look better for a moment. In the battalion chief's salary, it shows at $40,000. Is this divided by 6? I assume there are a battalion chief in each battalion. Is that correct?
Yeah, so each of the 6 stations is supervised by a battalion chief that answers to the deputy chief that answers to me. Each of the 6 battalion chiefs are paid an hourly wage based on their qualification, and it's a pay-per-call point. So for every incident they go to, they get paid for a pay-per-call point, whether they're there for 1 hour or 4 hours. Every training they go to, they get paid a pay-per-call point. In addition to that, the battalion chiefs come in and provide additional supervision, additional maintenance, the requirements to make sure that the facilities are well maintained, that the apparatus are well maintained and dependable, that the firefighters have completed all their necessary training and qualifications to make sure that they're capable to respond to incidents. So those are the responsibilities that the battalion chiefs perform. The battalion chiefs are paid hourly. And that's the number that's in that line item is an estimate. We only pay as much as the work that they perform based on the hours that are necessary to do their job. At the end of the budget year, if they don't work more hours than what's in that budget, then we don't spend that budget.
Okay, fair enough. My question was, I was looking at $40,000 divided by 6, if you would, thinking that's not very much on a yearly basis, so. That was my question, if that number is pretty much consistent with what it had been.
Yeah, it's been in line with what we've paid the time chiefs for the last 5 years, or really 6 years since unification. That's an average that we've looked at in each of the previous years.
Okay. Thank you. that explanation.
Chad, could you make a comment on the firefighter wages in terms of the increase from 75 to 100,000?
So the firefighters are, again, they're paid in the exact same format. We're a volunteer fire department, but we do provide incentives to our volunteer firefighters. That incentive is meant to give them a pat on the back, recognize them for their hours spent, significant amount of hours spent in training and responding to emergency incidents. But we're never going to be a paid fire department. We simply don't have the call volume. So instead, we have a recruitment effort to recruit new firefighters, and we have a retention effort to keep the firefighters we have. We use this pay-per-call system to provide incentive to our firefighters to stay with our organization so we don't need to continually replace them. So the pay-per-call point system is strictly based on 1 point for every incident that you go to. So whether it's 1 hour of work on that incident or 4 hours of work on that incident, they get one pay-per-call point. After 4 hours on the same incident, so for example, if you go to a large structure fire like the White Pine Ski Area, we were up there for several days. Every 4 hours becomes one additional point. So it's not hourly, it's a point schedule. An entry-level firefighter, when they join the fire department, they're 100% volunteer. They receive no remuneration at all from the moment they join the fire department until they successfully completed the entire recruit academy. So we also use the pay-per-call point as an incentive to ensure that our firefighters are well-trained, capable, and competent, and most importantly, safe to do the job that we expect them to do. So we use that as an incentive to make sure that they finish the recruit academy, and then once they finish the recruit academy from that point forward, then they start receiving the retention bonus, the incentive to give them a pat on the back and make sure they stay with us. So after they finish the recruit academy, that entry-level firefighter one is their qualification at that point, receives $20 per incident and $20 per training that they attend. Now, as they increase their level of experience and their level of qualifications, then they receive incremental bumps in pay. So a firefighter one, an entry-level firefighter, gets $20 per incident. A firefighter two, which is a mid-level firefighter, gets $23 per incident. A pump operator receives $25 per incident. A fire officer is $28 per incident. So as you can see, we've built in a schedule for our firefighters to receive bumps in a pay-per-call point based on their contribution and years of experience. And the important part of that is qualifications. So we want to make sure that our firefighters are qualified to the level they perform. This is our way of providing incentive to ensure that they're qualified to the level they perform. So they've had the leadership training to be a fire officer. So they've had the pump operation training in order to safely drive the apparatus and get to the incident, and then also operate that apparatus once it's there.
Thank you for that. From the public perspective, would it be accurate to say that it's attributable to the fact that perhaps you either have more firefighters or you have higher qualified, more trained firefighters?
So I wouldn't say we have more firefighters, no. We consistently hold solid about 100 firefighters that stay on our roster. Now, through attrition, when firefighters take a job in a different county or move away, we certainly lose a certain number of firefighters, but then every year we recruit a similar amount of firefighters. So it goes up and down, between 105 and 95, and frequently we're right in that benchmark area for the entire, since unification, we've been right at about 100 firefighters. But to your point, the second reason that you mentioned is that our firefighters are better trained and better qualified, and that's the reason why there's an incremental bump in that pay-per-call point, because we've been unified for 6 years. We've provided that incentive to our firefighters to continue and to enhance their ability by increasing their qualifications, and therefore there's been an increased cost to those firefighters that have had tenure and longevity with our organization.
Point taken. Thank you. Any more questions?
He looks at me like I'm going to ask a silly, stinking question, but I'm not going to do that. I like the the information that you brought with you. It gave me a better grasp, if you would, on what you're asking. And I think you were doing it very well, at least to my satisfaction. But there is one thing. What do these SBA things, when you purchase them, is there different levels? I guess that's what I'm asking. Is there different levels of these apparatuses, these SBA things, that would be required for, let's say, for instance, you got a 20-story building. That would appear to me to be of a different style than one that you would fight a firefight in here. Does that get close or not?
No, that's not accurate at all.
It takes the same one way up there as it does down here.
Yes, absolutely. A high-rise building, you know, fight the air the firefighter breathes is the exact same air the firefighter breathes in a low-rise building. The compressed air the firefighter wears on their back is necessary for them to breathe while they're inside of an ideally extremely dangerous life and health environment with smoke and superheated gases.
Right. I didn't ask the question properly. Then let me ask this like this way. So the compressed air, and I understand that. But would there be a higher compression rate in some other than others? In other words, if the air is compressed higher, I would think it would last longer. I guess that's what I'm asking. Is that something out there? No, it's not.
No, the SCBAs are designed, there's national standards that establish which manufacturers the criteria or measurements these manufacturers have to meet in order to sell these SCBAs. You can't sell them something from the industry that might be used in confined space entry because it's completely different when they go into a burning environment. So it has to be held to different higher standards for firefighters. Those standards specify that for structural firefighting, they have to have a certain amount of pressure for standardization. And the importance of the pressure is that if we were ever on a structure fire where I don't know, both LaBarge and Sullivan County, or Farson and Sullivan County, or Jackson and Sullivan County were on the same incident, there has to be standardization in the equipment between our firefighters because they have what's called a bunny breathing device, where if somebody was able to run out of air inside of an high-VLH environment and they were having a low critical air emergency, the adjoining fire department could connect with their bunny breathing device and transfill air, and both of them breathe off of the adjoining fire department. So there's standardization in the amount of pressure and the volume of air that those firefighters carry. Now there's additional requirements that are also specified that when they go into a hazmat incident, a hazardous materials incident, that there's less opportunity for replacement of those cylinders when they're inside of an IVLH hazmat incident, and that those are going to be 60-minute or 1-hour bottles at 4,500 PSI. So they have additional volume, but the trade-off is because of additional volume, now it's bigger and heavier SCBA, weighs more, it has less ability to allow the firefighters to manipulate and enter between, I don't know, trusses and rafters and small confined space areas because it's a bigger bottle. So we don't use those bigger bottles in structural firefighting. They're strictly held back for hazardous material response. The standard bottle for firefighting, what we're looking to purchase will be a 4,500 PSI cylinder that carries 45 minutes of air, and the volume of air is measured in time of duration of use of the air. The last 25% of that cylinder is designed to be an emergency reserve. Your low air alarm system, the alarm goes off when you reach the last 25%. You're required to immediately leave that building, and that gives you your last 25% to get out of the building and make sure that you don't run out of air in the system. That's the reason why it's a 45-minute bottle, but in general terms, most of our firefighters fight fire inside of a structural fire for less than 45 minutes.
Thank you. It's been a learning experience for me, and I appreciate it. Once again, you being here to explain that. Thanks again. I have no further questions.
Any other questions on fire department budget?
Mr. Chairman, no question. Just a quick comment. I've been here probably longer than anybody here, and I need to compliment Mr. improvement on the advancements we've made in term unification and how far we've come. We have a totally different, very well prepared firefighting system today compared to what we used to have. We've come a long, long way. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for your comments, Mr. President. I appreciate that.
If there's not anything else, Chad, yeah, thank you for your time and enough. Thanks for coming down. Appreciate it.
Good to see you.
Thank you. Still got a cookie here if you like. So good.
Thanks, Chad.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, ML.
So, Carrie, do we want to struggle through and get through? Take a break for lunch. What do we have? We have
not very much left.
County Health, Health and Sanitarium. What else?
Health, Sanitarium, Treatment Court, Ice Arena, Fair. Do you want to just go on through? It shouldn't take very long.
That's fine. Okay. You guys okay with that? Yeah. We should be able to wrap it up in 30 minutes. Should be.
Okay.
Start for Connie.
All right,
where are we, Carrie? Which one? We're going to do County Health?
What page?
43. We had to add a line item for the COVID so that they can get reimbursed from the state. So that's one thing that got added there. The other, and so we put that separate so that you would know that their operating budget did increase $100,000. Okay? And then the other thing that changed was we pay a portion of Jenny's salary, and then we pay a portion of the benefits for her and for another nurse that's in there. So that went up a little bit because retirement went up and then their health benefit went up as well. So the secretary stayed the same and we did not calculate overtime on that. And that secretary, that's a maxed out position that's been maxed out for quite a long time. Everything else is pretty much the same.
So did that county health balance for the state, is that different because of Stephanie doing that part-time previously or combining two roles previously?
She did the prior what was expensed in 1819, that was the difference because she was not in that role for a while. And then, but the increase from what was budgeted is because of the benefits, retirement going up, and I don't know if generally salary went up, but our portion is that.
So is that balance to the state, is that for two positions or just one position? Is that counting regional public health as well as local? Because the state pays a portion of that.
It's the Jen Lee's position and another nurse, Robin.
Okay.
Any questions?
No.
Okay. What? Sanitarium? No changes there. And that's the position that Alan Houston has two part-time positions to make one full-time position. The board did that last year.
I just like to say, I think our county health officer has earned his salary.
Right.
Been quite busy.
Yeah. Okay, in treatment court, this physician had a three-step process for it, and this year she's maxing out on her final step.
So what went down on the mental health treatment? There we go. Are we paying less to
High Country?
Yeah.
And they're not seeing as many people right
now. That's
right. Any questions on treatment court? Extension? Anyway, he made some changes to the budget. Our portion of the associate salary is going to go down. Oh, my thing just died. That's why this movie is going to be. We haven't had a chance to change it in here yet because we just got the information.
So what is changing?
The 4-H program associate salary, our portion, the $33,000 part. Let me see here.
What's the clerk for? 52 to 58, what's that?
That's a step. That's maxing out her step, yeah. Mm-hmm. I would assume everything else would probably stay the same. Oh, his name is Richard Hughes. Okay. He's going to be the
regional guy now?
Associate director. Oh, yeah. And he's going to come to the second meeting in June.
watch that house, so it didn't matter because one guy who was there for me, so I found out about it.
Thank goodness I didn't graduate from there.
Hey, you got a 4-year degree.
Yeah.
There's a 7-year.
Should I say that?
Any questions about extension?
Well, I would have one. When do we get to meet in this?
That's commission meeting.
I'm sorry, that's when?
The 16th. Yes, June 16th, they'll be coming to that commission meeting.
Thanks.
Okay, any other questions for extension? I, Serena, did nothing change. They do have overtime over there whenever they're building the ice, so we did calculate overtime for them. Any questions for Ice Arena?
I guess carry out of that one. The manager's salary and the other folks salary seem to be the same with no extension and job descriptions for those. Or how does that work?
You want job descriptions for
no,
the manager?
No, no, no. I'm wondering why the manager is making more than just curiosity, why the two folks that are under the manager make the same amount of money. That's all I'm asking. I'm not questioning that. I'm just asking for clarification.
Well, the two under him don't make the same amount. We calculated overtime for them. He is exempt from overtime. The manager is exempt. So over there on H, that's what they make, the two of them at their maxed out staff, and their pay scale is in the maintenance pay scale, which is higher than the courthouse people. So, so you can see up there the calculation at their max step. We'll go back to the long-term step. Yeah, their max step is at 63,909.84.
Okay, thank you.
Also, just as a side note, one of the full-time employees that is charged basically to the ice arena comes in the summertime and helps out with mowing and doing the outside stuff. So they get to pay for part of that. Okay. Ready to go on to fair?
Yes.
There's not much that can be trimmed off of fair. They, you know, we sent out the letter that said take the 10% off, and Jay reduced his salary. We put it back.
Any questions on the fairgrounds?
Just to clarify, this is the fairgrounds.
Fairgrounds.
Yeah.
Right.
But, to, Mr. Chairman, to speak to that, there is a second meeting tonight about the fair, and the group is meeting with Dr. Fitzsimmons to put together some variances to what's going to happen if the fair is going to take place. And so that's where they are, meeting tonight at 5:30.
I heard that rumor, I don't know.
I haven't seen the rumor.
Yep.
I heard that just about you, Ken, with canceling your fair.
Well, I heard Sweetwater and you.
I don't know how you do that, but it's a state statute. We have it.
They canceled the entertainment part of it. They didn't cancel the vendors. They didn't cancel the 4-H part of it.
It could be rumor, I don't
know. So all the gathering, not related.
The concerts.
Yeah.
The exhibit building is getting scaled down with no vendors, just kids' exhibits. Sweetwater County is a lot more commercialized. It's actually bigger than the state fair.
Oh, that's a big fair.
It's a big fair, and they typically have 6 concerts with 10,000 people each night.
Carnival.
A carnival.
Okay, so fairgrounds. Any questions on the fairgrounds budget? Tell Jay we appreciate his efforts, but not necessary.
Okay, that's all we have for today. Tomorrow is regular commission meeting. We're not going to be doing any budget stuff tomorrow. Wednesday is in Marlton Town Hall at 9 a.m. Mike Flynn will be there to talk about fair board and soil conservation. And the Big Piney Marlton Airport has emailed that they would come as well. And then, so as time allows on Wednesday, we'll be going over the general accounts.
Okay, so you make sure you get to the commission to anticipate capital improvement project?
Yes.
So
well, that's on Thursday.
I know, but ahead of time. Yeah.
Okay. That's it.
Making a journey.